Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
One, two.
Right, well, I've no faffing around this week, Ted, because I'm on borrowed time.
Poor Aidan, he's got a knackered back. So, what happened with your back? I thought that after you'd done your Santa back, it got back to normal.
Well, I thought so. I mean, I had a judicious set of seven sessions. Try saying that when you're drunk with a physiotherapist. It gets worse. And, we did indeed think that I was well on the mend until I bent down to pick up a book, of all things, the other day. Twang. You know, people who have this will know exactly what I mean. You're just bending down innocently and all of a sudden, oh, the back's gone again. Went to see the physio for an emergency appointment on Friday evening. He took one look and said, "F*** me, your spine's looking bad." Basically, my spine had just sort of shifted over to the left violently. So he said, "I think you should go to A&E and get an X-ray." So the next day I went to A&E, which was remarkably fast. I only waited 2 hours as opposed to, you know, all day for some poor people. And she said to me, "No, you don't need..." They gave me an absolute pharmacy full of pills and painkillers because I've never been in so much pain as I was for those 2 hours while I was waiting to be seen. But the long story short is that she said, "No, you don't need an X-ray, but you probably need an MRI. So contact your doctor and get a referral," which I did. And God bless both the NHS and the insurance system, because they worked in tandem beautifully today. And I've got a specialist appointment for midday tomorrow.
Oh, right.
Yeah, bad back, seriously gone. Hopefully it's only muscular. It's only the fact that the muscle spasm and that as soon as it's well, I must do a serious course of Pilates or something similar to strengthen my back. Worst case is that something has actually happened to the base of my spine and I shall be rushed off to hospital and put in a vice.
Oh, my word. I think if it was that serious, you'd probably not even be able to talk to me today.
Yeah, I think the fact that it has improved. I mean, I really was in tremendous pain at the hospital. But that's because it had recently just done its worst and was shifting my spine across at the bottom. But it has been progressively getting better over the last couple of days. And of course, I've been taking as much care as I could. And I'm on a catalogue of tablets, muscle relaxants and painkillers and the like. You know, it makes you realise we live in a, you know, we shouldn't be complacent. We live in a society where it's possible to be treated. You know, there are some poor buggers in the world for whom if this happened, it would just mean death. You just lie down until the pain killed you. So,
hope you've got people around you who can feed you.
Yes, indeed. So I'm grateful not only for being in a 21st century society, but also for the NHS and my health insurance, both of whom served me admirably. How are you, Ted?
Splendid. Well, nothing wrong with me in relation to you, for sure. I'm just plodding along and no complaints really at all. Certainly not physically. Mentally, I'm a complete fruit loop,
We've known that. That's what we love about you. Hey, I should say, actually, the reason I mentioned borrowed time is because one of the problems with this is I just can't stay in the same place for more than 5 minutes without it seizing up and becoming painful. And I've decided, Ted and I, ladies and gentlemen, have been texting all day long about can I do it, can't I do it, no, I better not. And then I suddenly texted Ted and said, "You know what? Let's have a go." So I'm going to see how long I can sit here before I start screaming and paying no attention to what you're saying, Ted.
Okay, as usual. I mean,
yes, indeed.
It's Tuesday, the 4th of March, everyone, and this is Whatever Works. And we're going to try to bring you a show, as described by just by Aidan there. Whateverworks.works is our website, where you'll find links to all the stuff we hopefully will get to today. MeWe Group is where we want to hear about whatever works in your life, so we can pick those apart and bring them to the show. And AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me. Without further ado, let's move back to the feedback and your gaming poll.
Yes, my gaming poll, which I think I mentioned on the last show. You know, so much talk about games and gaming, and it's becoming, you know, it's a multi-billion pound industry and everybody seems to be playing games. So I posted a poll, people will probably remember, 2 or 3 or 4 weeks ago now, so, which read, I was chatting to a friend yesterday about electronic games, and they were astonished to hear that I never, ever play them. Ever. Not even solitaire on my phone. So a quick, fun poll, do you play games? Now, I should have actually worded it better and should have specified electronic games as opposed to Monopoly and Cluedo and the like. Nevertheless, do you play games? And the results were very surprising. There were 5 possibilities. One person clicked on verging on addicted, which was the strongest. There were 4 for frequently, 9 contenders for once in a while, but not very often. I think you were in that group, weren't you, Ted?
I think so, yeah.
Then the fourth group was fairly frequently with 10 responders. And then to my huge surprise, like Aidan, never, 13. So absolutely not what I was expected. I really thought that I was out on my own on a limb here and that I really should get a life and start playing games. But no, I'm with the majority. 13 of us never play games.
Right, OK. On the back of this, I installed Angry Birds on my computer. On my computer. Not on a handheld device, but on an actual screen.
Lovely.
And it was really good. And I was really enjoying it. Well, only for about half an hour, you know, then I got fed up with it. But it was, because Angry Birds, the benefit of it is if you've got a really wide screen, so you can see the catapult and you can see where you're firing. And usually with a little screen, it's really difficult to see that. And I was having a whale of a time. It must have been, half an hour to an hour. And I thought, this is great. And then, of course, since that day I did that, I've never gone back to it. It's just like that one day, that novelty for a few minutes, and then it's gone again. I never felt the need to. So I can see why people don't do it, and I something I used to do, I suppose.
But I think I would be totally in your camp with that, Ted. I think there's nought wrong with trying something new and enjoying it and going, oh, this is fun, and then an hour later saying, right, now I must move on to something else. I think it's when addiction sets in that it starts to become a problem, when you find that 3 days have passed and you've neither eaten nor gone to the toilet and you're still playing Angry Birds, you know.
In your cellar.
Yes. Yeah.
Right, okay, Daniel B has rebranded himself. I reckon he got fed up with us not being able to pronounce his surname. So I noticed in the group he's now just Daniel B.
Oh, and sorry, Daniel.
So anyway, he's fed back on our Better Before Gaming discussion as well on the last show. I contend that actually gaming is better now. My Nintendo Switch loads games much faster than the old consoles did. The controllers are much more responsive. You can also get improved version of the old controllers you used in the past for those older games. You now only need to find games on the Nintendo eShop online to download them, or go to Amazon and have them physically delivered. I.e. this £37 Nintendo Switch 51 Worldwide Games cartridge has unsurprisingly 51 games on it. Most are playable against other players online if you wish, but there's also single player games. The point is that what he's making it is really, is that in the old days, gaming was as it was, but nowadays they polish that up. And if for people that are into gaming and do go back to gaming, and we do know that Daniel does do that, and he's very often helping us out on the show here with his thoughts about gaming. If you remember, he's particularly keen on board games, and is able to talk about those with us at some point. Are you still there?
I'm still there, and I'm just thinking it's nice that somebody has a mutual interest in both board gaming and electronic gaming. I think that's the way to do it. Broad-minded. Excellent.
Excellent indeed. Thank you, Daniel B.
Thank you, Daniel Benoit. I can no longer say it. Daniel B, thank you, sir. And Alan W, Alan Webb, brings us the Carmen, lots of letters and numbers, rechargeable hot water bottle. This is rather nice.
Yeah.
It's got water in it, but it seems to be electrically charged. One for cold nights, he says. The water is sealed inside, so there's no risk of leakage and being water, it stays hot longer than any similar-based gel version does. It can also be used as a hand warmer.
Hey, and, for Aidan.
Yeah, well, yes, indeed, and just under £15 each. So I guess this is basically a conventional hot water bottle, except that you don't put boiling water from the kettle in and risk scalding your hands forever. You actually plug it in and heat it up with electricity. So rather clever.
You do. And on the back of what Alan said, I decided to get one of these. And I've had mixed results, really. You plug the thing in. It cost $14.99, I think it was. And you plug the thing in and leave it for 15 minutes, it tells you to do. And I thought, right, in 15 minutes, it will be piping hot. I went back after 15 minutes, and it really wasn't piping hot. It was just kind of lukewarm. I started to think that maybe I got a duff unit. I was going to send it back. But then I put it on again about an hour later and gave it a second bout of 15 minutes. And then, to be perfectly honest, I went away and forgot it and I left it plugged in. Now, it's supposed to cut itself off and not overheat and whatever, but I went back to it about 3 hours later and it was really, really hot. So I don't know. I don't quite get what the whole charging thing is or whether I've got a duff unit or not. But certainly the 15-minute thing didn't work. I also had a bit of a back issue last week, which is why I decided to get one. And when it's piping hot, it is actually very useful. It's got this kind of grip thing, claw thing that you put around it and then a plug in the side and you plug it in. When it's really hot, it does go actually quite bulbous. It becomes quite, obviously the water inside is expanding and it's quite hot. And anyway, the point is that I'm experimenting with it. I'll come back when I've tested it more, but at the moment I'm kind of mixed results, really.
Now, I'm just reading on the back here, it says the battery charges within 15. So does that mean you don't plug it into the mains to heat it up? It has its battery in it that heats it, and you then recharge that battery as and when needed.
Really? It's got a battery in it? I've no idea. When I'm charging it, I put this clamp thing around it, and it plugs in, and you plug it into the wall. I had no idea there's a battery. Where have you seen about a battery?
Well, because I'm just looking it up again now, because viewers may not be interested to know we just had a complete crash and had to carry on recording. It says here, charge the battery in under 15 minutes. Comes with a fast charging adapter. So I wonder if that
has got a battery in it.
Yeah, and maybe that's why you misunderstood the 15 minutes part. Maybe the mains charges the battery in 15 minutes, but the battery heats the water in a lot longer.
Oh, right.
I can see on the box here, ready to use in under 15 minutes. Did you read this when you got it, Ted?
Well, 15 minutes, yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah, okay.
Ready to use in under 15 minutes, that's what I read.
I think probably by use, they mean ready to start heating it.
Oh, I see. Taking it out of the box takes 15 minutes.
Yeah, something like that. No, I think what they're getting at is it takes 15 minutes to charge the battery and then it's ready to use. And to use it, you have to heat the water from the battery, which takes 45 minutes or so.
Well, watch this space, because I'm confused now. And certainly Alan, who put it in the group, seemed to be saying that 15 minutes you charge, and it says in the instructions, it says it keeps water warm for up to 5 hours while unplugged, fully charged and ready to use in under 15 minutes. Automatic temperature control, blah blah blah. Watch this space. I'm going to come back to the next show with this,
okay,
because I'm intrigued now to see what I'm doing wrong, if anything. I'll talk to Alan about it and see what he says.
As I said in the last show, I've got this lovely little tiny, probably for cats and dogs, electric blanket that's about the size of a computer screen, and it's wonderful on my back, and all you do is just lie back on it and switch it on. You should get one of those, Ted.
Say that again, sorry, I missed you there.
It's a little tiny electric blanket. It's an electric blanket that's about the size of an A3 sheet of paper.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
put it on your back and turn it on, and that's job done.
It's not going very well today, really, is it? Perhaps people would have preferred if we didn't record at all, really.
Tell us about Daniel B again. Yes,
we're back with Daniel B, and he's got a Tesla wooden organizer. This bedside docking station is perfect for organizing my watches, glasses, wallet, ring and phone. No more miscellaneous crap on my nightstand, bedstand, table. There's even a version of it with a drawer if you want. Charge your phone, made of ash wood, 26 quid, 6 inches by 10 inches by 7.3 inches. And yes, indeed, that does look very interesting, very nice, and very organised. And it's got It looks like you feed the cable for your phone up through a hole in the bottom of the thing and stick it by your bed and charge. It does look very neat and very tidy. And yes, well done, Daniel. Nice shout.
Yes, it is a nice shout. As one who's often flinging his arms out to the bedside table and knocking things flying, I think it's, yeah, I approve. I don't really know if it's up my street enough that I'd want one, but it's certainly something I can see the sense in. So yes, nice one, Daniel. Thank you.
Indeed.
Wayne Keeling brings us the Wax Nitro Cordless Pressure Washer. Basically a car washer on a stick, really, I think. Oh. I just got a new car, he says, and because I live in a square, I cannot get to wash it very easily. Now, I remember in the discussion, Ted, you raised the question, and I now raise it back at you. Why does living in a square mean you can't easily wash a car? I couldn't follow that part. Did you get to the bottom of that?
The first part of the question was one of our American listeners didn't know what a square was. What's living in a square mean? So we got that one out of the way, and I referenced EastEnders. I think what he's saying is that if you live in a square in a city, mm-hmm. you've got to run a cable out to whatever you're doing because you're all right on the street. You don't have a garden. You don't have a driveway. You don't have own space.
Okay,
and
yeah.
So this thing, which is not requiring a cable, as you'll find out in a minute, is doing the job.
Exactly. Gotcha, sir. Thank you for that. So Wayne says, I therefore got this, which gives me 56 bars of pressure and is plenty good enough. At £179, it's not the cheapest, but the local car wash is now £8 a time, so it'll pay for itself in time. It's ultra compact, it has four spray patterns at 0 degrees, 15, 25 and 40 degrees, and watering. High and low pressure setting, 20 volts, 1.5 kilograms, can draw from taps, buckets, tanks, bottles, water ponds, pools, lakes, etc. through its 6-metre hose. It has a long lance. I guess the lance is the metal bit sticking out at the front. It has a multi-spray nozzle, quick connector adapter, water bottle adapter, and it's, it's waterproof. It's got a waterproof battery case. That makes sense. Yes, the battery needs protecting. Water IPX7 waterproof battery case, and it's compatible with all Walks 20 volt, 40 volt and 80 volt tools, outdoor power and lifestyle products. Yeah, that puts me in mind of the Ryobi system. I mean, once you move into, what's the word, once you're in the universe, it's like, you know, do you use Amazon or do you use Google? Once you're in the universe of tools, it's good to keep with who you're with. And I'm with Ryobi, and clearly Warts is another one that you can join.
Yeah, and lots of various attachments for different tools.
Indeed.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Nice one. And I think the last visit we have from Daniel B. Actually, Daniel B. jumped in because very kindly.
We should have called it Daniel A, B and C, really, shouldn't we?
He jumped in very kindly because I had put an appeal out saying we haven't got enough stuff. And so let's try and make a show up. And then Daniel pulled all the stops out and went for it. So thank you, Daniel,
yes,
for your support. Athletic non-alcoholic beer, he says. I found this to be great tasting beer with 0.5% alcohol. Now, before you shout, hang on. In the USA, we have a law that non-alcoholic beer has to have 0.5% or below to be considered non-alcoholic. So 0.5% alcohol athletic non-alcohol beer is actually not zero non-alcoholic beer. It's got some alcohol in it. I enjoy the taste of beer more than the alcohol itself, says Daniel. So switching to this option is fine by me. It tastes exactly like Corona. I know Corona. I think Corona is quite nice. A Mexican beer that I like. I've always enjoyed pale lagers and light beers. Beer with low amounts of alcohol. It does seem to be available in the... Sorry. Yes. He thought it wasn't available in the UK, but I looked it up. And I did. You can see a map there. I pulled together of my local area, and it is available in the UK, even in supermarkets. So worth a try for those who want to have a go at athletic non-alcoholic beer. To my mind, whenever I've tried to drink non-alcoholic beer, I'm thinking to myself, this doesn't taste right. It's not as nice as what I want to drink. But secondly, I think, well, what's the point? You might as well just have a Coke. But obviously Daniel has got a much more healthy approach to alcohol than I have. I'm just a pisshead.
Well, you know, I'm a bit of a puff as well in the that I don't want to get drunk. And I would love to have non-alcoholic.
You can't say that. We'll get letters.
I apologise. I'm a bit wimpy in that respect.
That's
that
better.
I just don't want to be drunk. I don't like being drunk. As soon as I feel the slightest hint that I might be losing control, I hate that and I stop drinking. This is why I've tried and indeed disliked alcohol-free wines in the past. Because I don't enjoy the alcohol. So were I a beer drinker, I would be very keen on this. I'm wondering what's athletic about beer. I mean, that's a strange title to give it. I wouldn't have thought those two words go well in the same sentence, athletic and beer, but there you go. Yeah, I'm not a beer drinker, but if I was, I think that's the one I'd choose.
Yeah, fair enough. And I do like, as I said, I like Corona. I've had that and it's nice. So if, yeah, maybe if I was going to go on a low alcohol thing, I would be up for that. Thank you, Daniel, for all
I remember
your
Corona,
support.
Ted. I mean, do you remember when COVID first started? Before it was called COVID, it was called coronavirus. And there were many jokes about you can get a beer for that and blah, 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 you know.
I wonder who bought it. I wonder who bought the Distance E windscreen repair kit, which looks very interesting. You can repair your cracked windscreen yourself with a durable resin. Cracks, chips, bullseye, star break, half moon, fixed in 20 minutes. This costs 11 quid. Seems to review pretty well. I'm assuming it's legal to use in this country or anywhere else. You get a thing with four thick rubber feet on it, and you secure it to the glass around whatever it is you're doing, and then you evenly spread the resin over the glass, clean and dry the windscreen glass surface, squeeze the resin into the crack, and put on the cured film. Quickly dry and solidify under ultraviolet light for 5 to 10 minutes, and finally the resin is scraped off with a spatula. The crack that you're treating can't be more than 12 inches across.
Inches?
And round.
12 inches? You mean millimetres?
That's what it says.
You can't have a 12-inch crack. I mean, that's half the window.
It's not that big, is it?
12 inches? Anyway, that's a foot, Ted.
And round damage, not more than 1 inch in diameter. Right, have a look at the Amazon page and see if it says 12 inches, because I'm sure that's where I got it from. Yes, it does.
Goodness.
Cracks not more than 30 centimetres.
That's unbelievable.
So obviously, let's have a look at the pictures of people doing it.
But while you're looking, Ted, I would say, do you remember I told a story a few shows back about the wind when I bought my new car? I've got a new car, by the way. I don't know if anybody knows. And there was a crack on the windscreen. And when I called
them,
can't
be new anymore.
When I called them to come and fix it, they said, "Oh, this has been bodge repaired. We've got to give you a new windscreen." Well, this puts me in mind of what we're talking about here. I wouldn't try to do this myself. I mean, I'm not no disrespect to whoever's bought it, but you're a braver man than I, or perhaps you're a qualified mechanic, but I wouldn't want to do this myself to my own car.
Be interesting to hear from whoever bought it to see if your fears are completely without ground.
Yes, indeed.
And actually this works really, really well. Or alternatively, whoever has bought it tried it once and never again.
Yes. And on the other hand, of course, it depends on your insurance. I mean, in my case, it was covered under my insurance. I didn't pay a penny, and I had a very nice young man came round and fixed it, and it was all done. And in this case, it's cost £10.98. So, because again, it depends on your situation.
Yeah.
Everyone's different.
Yeah. I think I remember from when I had a car last, you can only have so many a year of those, like two or three a year or something, and then you've got to pay afterwards. Cough. Up.
still using.
I am still using my Braun Series 9 Pro electric shaver. And the reason I bring it to the show is because I was struck by quite a lengthy discussion going on MeWe this week about shavers and shaving. And I popped in and said, yes, I'm still using my Braun. So I thought it might be apposé for me just to say show 198, 6th of December 23. So over a year now. And it's wonderful. It's the Braun shaver. I remember when I bought it, I talked about it on the show. And also I said in the group just last week that I was coming from Filler Shave, which are round shaver heads. You know, they have that distinctive three round heads. And I was moving to Braun, which is this two horizontal heads. And I wondered if that would be a problem. But wasn't. And I took to it fine. And I think it's a marvellous shaver. It comes with a lovely travel case, which actually has a built-in battery. So when it's in the travel case, it's continuing to charge. And I'm very, very happy with it. I've been using it, what, for a year and a half now? No problems at all. I did pay £244 for it, so it jolly well should be good. And I'm afraid now it's gone up to £289.99, so you've got to really want one. But I don't regret it. I mean, I use it almost every day. I mean, it's my shaver. So, you know, however many, I don't know exactly how many times I shave a week, but four or five, six times a week, I shave with it, and it's never given me any trouble whatsoever. Very nice.
I should hope not at that price.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. You do, if you're going to pay £300 for a razor, you really should expect it to be absolutely brilliant and perfect.
Yes.
And it sounds as though it is.
And so. It is. It's self-cleaning. You know, you pop it in its little, it sits in its little indentation house thing, and you press a button and it makes a noise and cleans itself every now and again when you feel it needs to be done. Yeah, very happy with it.
Did you say it was waterproof?
I don't know whether it's waterproof, actually.
Oh, right. I thought you mentioned it. Okay.
No, I've never had, but I wouldn't be surprised if it were. And it doesn't worry me. I don't shave in the bath or anything, so it's not a problem for me.
No, or in a swimming pool.
Indeed.
Or at the beach.
Indeed, or in the pond. I've got a pond, did I tell you? Okay. Hey, move on. What are you still using?
I'm still using my Oxford heavy duty chain for my little scooter.
Oh, yes.
1.5 metres long. March 2020 this was brought to the show, although I might have actually bought it to still using as well since then. I can't remember. £33 it costs, which sounds a lot of money for a chain, but it's in daily use, you know, and ever since March 2020, which is now 5 years. See how I worked that out? It's been there in all weathers. The lawnmower has gone over it once by accident. There was no damage to the chain, only to the cloth surrounding the chain. And it's just, it works really well. Highly recommended. Of course, a determined thief will get through anything like this, as Chris Kelly will tell us, but this is it's quite thick and sturdy looking. Oxford has got a good name for this stuff, and so yeah, I mean, to some degree I suppose it's a bit of a deterrent as well, but anyway, yeah, very solid chain, and so far I've got no complaints at all.
I'm very pleased, because I do remember you going on. I mean, I do remember you had a lot of concern with this when you got it, and there was quite a few hoops you wanted to jump through to get exactly what you wanted. So I'm very pleased to know that it did finally work out and it stood the test of time. That's good news, sir.
It's very good indeed.
And now you don't have to go on and on and on anymore.
Wayne Key, and on our show we had the air fryer discussion going on about how long you cook things for. Mm. And Wayne Keeling jumped up in the group with an air fryer conversion chart. A great cheap as chips, he says. I heard you talking about air fryers temperature recently. I swear by these guides. I use mine all the time. Loads of different ones on Amazon. I've stuck it on the inside cupboard door and referred to it all the time when using the Ninja air fryer, which is that really posh, nice one. Now, since Wayne posted this, of course, you don't need to buy one from Amazon, really. You can just make your own or take a photo of one or whatever.
That's exactly while you're talking. Yeah. I'm just typing air fryer conversion chart into Google and finding some lovely pages.
Exactly.
Yes.
But that's not the point. If you want a nicely finished posh one, then this one will do the trick. And thank you, Wayne, because we were talking about that. And even if people do not buy one and just print one, then fair enough, or photograph one, then fair enough. But yes, an air fryer conversion chart.
Yeah, and I concur. I mean, yes, it's all very well to say you could print your own, but it's not going to be nicely, it's in various colours and probably, what's the word, laminated, I wouldn't be surprised, and on car. Yeah, much nicer to buy one, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unless you've got a laminator, of course.
Shush.
I want one of those.
What do you want?
I want an...
Please,
shut up. Sit down.
Hey, I'm just trying to keep moving and keep the back fluid.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Okay, I'm going to go for a walk while you do this.
You're doing very well so far. I want an Olight Batten 4 kit. a 1300 lumens rechargeable... do you know, I can't even remember this. Let me have a look at it.
I love this, Ted. It's a Zippo lighter that isn't a lighter, it's a torch.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this is fabulous.
That's it. I remember now, the Olight Baton 4, I put it on the group, and as soon as I put it on the group, I completely forgot about it. You've reminded me, it looks like a Zippo lighter. The case looks like a Zippo lighter, and you open it up, and it's a rechargeable case, and you charge the case as well, and blah, blah, blah. 1,300 lumens. Unfortunately, it's nearly £100, which is just a bit bonkers. But I mean, for a present for someone possibly that has got everything, I quite fancy one of these. And is it still? Yeah, it's £95, isn't it? You can get it in different colours, in black, and it's got that nice knurled outside to it, and a pen clip, so you can clip it onto your clothing or your pocket or whatever. Just looks the dogs to me. Oh, the blue one's nice. I quite fancy the blue one.
Yes, it is. I should just say, because I don't think you said, Ted, the torch is actually inside. It's a Zippo lighter that's about the size of a cigarette box, isn't it? And the torch comes out, so you take the smaller torch out of the thing and then you put it back into charge afterwards. Very neat. Very cute.
Yeah. And they reckon it will last 190 days. Well,
you'd have to really be lost.
Yeah, it will stay charged for 190 days. If you used it continuously, is there a figure for that?
Oh, dear.
Anyway, I just fancy the look of it. If you want to use it inside the case, you can. But as you say, you can take it out if you want to as well. The case you can charge with USB-C. Hurrah! And also, you can use the battery inside the case to emergency charge your phone. So the point is that the battery in the case is in and out for charging. I missed this.
You're discovering it over again, Ted.
On the outside of the case, it's got a little LED that tells you how much battery's left. Ooh, I want one of these. £95.
Yeah, but suddenly £95 is seeming more appealing to you, though, isn't it, Ted? I can tell.
I like that, don't you?
I do very much like it as well. Yes, you can buy me one while you're at it, please. Right, well, I'll tell you what I want. You know, you share my interest in photography, I know, Ted. You know, cameras and lenses and playing around. And I'm sure you'll appreciate, as I do, the fairly standard, what is it, I've got 70 to 300 millimetre lens on my Nikon camera, which I love, and I find that quite a nice zoom lens. You can zoom in if you need to, or you can give yourself a lovely depth of field if you're taking portraiture, whatever. And for bigger zoom lengths, you need to usually have to spend quite a lot of money. I mean, Nikon do a 500 millimeter lens, which I think is going to cost you over £1,000. Well, I was playing around on the web, just looking at cameras and lenses. And I was flabbergasted when I found the Nikon Coolpix 1000. That's an upgrade from the 950, which itself was an upgrade from the 900. Yes, I've been doing my research. And for £1,049, you can buy a camera. It's a bridge camera. I didn't know the term before, but apparently a bridge camera is sort of bridges between the cheapies and the professionals' cameras. And the USP of this camera, are you sitting down, Ted? It's got a focal length of 24mm to 3,000mm. It's 125 times optical. It's practically a telescope built into a camera. The sad part of it is it's got a very small sensor, barely bigger than the one in your mobile phone. So I think ultimately, even if I had £1,000 to spare, I don't think I'd want to have one of these, because I shouldn't imagine that for, you know, after work and playing with and enjoying your pictures later down the line, I think they might not be good enough coming out of such a small sensor. But really, the USP is 3,000mm optical. I would love to at least have one of these just to look through and see if I can find planets in the sky at night and see how far I can see during the daytime. And you'd need a tripod, that's for sure. It's got some specs here. 6 megapixel backside illuminated CMOS sensor and an f2.8 lens. Ensure strong light, low light performance, it says. 4K video recording and Nikon's vibration reduction. You'll need that support smooth, shake-free results. I'd love to play with this. A telescope built onto a camera. Doesn't it look fun?
Yeah, bridge cameras are full of compromises, and they always have been, really. I'm quite surprised you didn't know bridge cameras.
No, I didn't.
The Panasonic make some really good ones as well with long reaches. I'm not sure if I've seen a 3,000 millimeter one before, though. And also, just to note that the f2.8 is not across the range. Obviously, that's only at the wide end.
Yes, the wide end. Yeah.
So it does stop down quite considerably down to f8. Apart from that, but yeah, bridge cameras are great. They're a bit lumpish. I've had a couple of them in the past, and they do tend to be a bit lumpish. And you know, you start to think to yourself, well, actually, this is such a lump, I might as well really just have a proper camera and a couple of lenses. But yes, it certainly reaches out there. But you're right, the main Achilles heel is that sensor,
yes,
which is you know, a 1 over 2.3 inch type sensor. You get in some phones now, and you know, it's just tiny and nowhere near APS-C or even 4/3 or even a 1-inch sensor.
Exactly.
They're just minuscule. And stick to your D800,
yeah, because I've got a D800, which is, of course, a full-frame sensor, which is
exactly
absolutely glorious. And I'm quite sure that if I had this, I'd be going, ooh. No, again, it's just the idea of a lens that you can look at Saturn.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it just seems bonkers to me.
Yeah. Get a telescope.
Yeah, really, to be honest, one should just... It has actually started to pique a possible interest in looking, in getting a telescope one day and having a look at the sky. Probably
Why
a much
not?
Better idea. Indeed.
Yeah.
Better before.
Ed Howells thinks that pens were better before. And indeed, the item on the MeWe group actually brought more interest than coffee, I would say. They did very, very well on MeWe. Ed talking about pens. He says, I love my fountain pens. And the orange platinum Placier is cheap-ish at £16. Beautiful and smooth to write with. Also my Lamy Safari. In fact, a gold star for this one. My charcoal black one has worn smooth over the 13 years I've had it. But the nib is the best nib I've ever used. The plastic coating having worn off, the brass clip shows me how much I've used it. It's never leaked, and because you don't need to press down to write, it's comfortable for long periods of writing. I did my diploma exams, he says, with this pen, and from memory I wrote 22 sides of A4 in 3 hours. I could not have done that with a ballpoint. Lamy even does left-handed nibs, if anyone's ever curious.
Left-handed?
Left-handed nibs. If
anyone's... How does that work, then?
Well, I presume. I mean, I'm a common troglodyte. I don't use a nib, so I wouldn't know. But I imagine a nib is probably constructed to be used by the right hand, and so you'd need a left-handed nib for left-handed people.
That's fiendish. Brilliantly responded to that question. Well done. Very explanatory.
I don't know whether you're a bit... I'm just going to move on. Where are we? Ed Hauser goes on to say, left-handed nibs, if anyone's curious. Their factory is interesting, and there's still a heartwarming level of actual people finishing products by hand, particularly on the high-end stuff, as you might imagine. There's also the Monteverde Intima, which is another favourite. Yeah, I mean, again, it's not really my cup of tea, but pens and pen-loving and pen-worshipping and pen-ownership and pen-use and calligraphy is a wonderful thing. And I mean, I can certainly appreciate the beauty of the results. It's not something I particularly am keen on. The only pen that I'm very proud of is I've got in my hand as I speak to you. It is a ball pen. Sorry, Ed, but it's a zero gravity ball pen that I bought at NASA, which is the one that's pressurized so it works upside down and underwater. I'm afraid that's as far as my interest in pens really goes. But no, that's all good stuff, Ed. Thank you very much.
My dad jumped into the group at this point. Well, he didn't, because he's not a member and doesn't know how to use MeWe. But I jumped in on his behalf. When I told him about this conversation, he came up with this pen that he's had. He said he used it. It was a fountain pen, and he showed it to me, and I took a photograph of it and put it in the group. He used it to do his O-levels in 1952 when he was 16, and he's still got it. And it still works. It's got no ink in it at the moment, but it still works. And he's really happy with it and proud to have it still. That's quite impressive, isn't it? 1952,
yeah.
He got that.
They don't make them like they used to.
There was an awful lot of, like you said at the outset, there's an awful lot of interest in this item, which probably maybe not quite as much as coffee, but... I was just amazed at how this took off, and everyone was like sharing their photographs of their particular pens and, you know, blah, blah, blah. In an age in which we just, well, I don't ever hardly write anything ever more, anymore. I don't know if, I suppose some people do, but maybe it's more than that. It's a bit like me and cameras, actually. It's not about what you do with it. It's about having it and enjoying the ownership of it.
Yeah, but I think, as you say, it's a hobby. I mean, I personally don't play the violin anymore. I never did, but a violinist, a person who is a hobby violinist, would do so every day. So, I mean, I think you take it away from the tool that everybody needs and uses, and it becomes a tool that is for hobbyists, and it's something special.
Collectors.
Yes, indeed.
Very nice indeed. Yeah, good item, Ed. Well shouted. And we'll put a few links in the show notes to some of those posh pens, expensive and cheap ones.
Thank you.
Whatever.
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 Whatever worked.
Whatever worked. Ian Barton, back in the day, in our next show that we were on together, which was in December 2018, found this service, which appears to be still going today, called freeprints.co.uk. I don't know if you remember, but it seems like too good to be true, really, that you send off to them your digital photographs, and you can have every month a certain number of photographs, which they send you. You've got to pay the postage for them to post them back to you, but essentially you can get 45 free 6x4-inch prints per month. And, you know, I can't really see... I mean, obviously, they're hoping that people will want more than just the very basic 6x4 print, so they'll pay for the extras.
Yes.
But, you know, it's a bit of a gamble, isn't it? Because suddenly everyone in the world might just try and do it and put you out of business.
And so there's no catch. There's no compulsory, you know, contract or...
No, nothing. There's a limit of one free print per photo. So you can't send one JPEG to them and say, I want 20 of them.
Oh, I see, yes.
It's got to be, you know, so, you know, they have kind of thought about it a bit. Delivery can cost between £1.50 and £4, depending on how many you've got. But, I mean, the point is that this website is still here. It's clearly still live, and I'm assuming that it still works and people are doing it. So that's really, really good. That's something to just remember, or, you know, to remind our listeners about, really.
Indeed. I mean, as a listener, I'd forgotten that, and I shall certainly investigate it when we finished recording today. Yeah, that does all, as you say, almost, you know, the old mantra, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. But maybe this is the exception to the rule.
Yeah, yeah. And well done, Ian. I hope you're feeling better these days, incidentally. Keep getting better.
Handbrake.
Oh, yeah.
Ted's review I read on. There's two items on here that I liked and couldn't decide between them, so I'll do them both briefly. Handbrake, a wonderful little piece of open source software that you found and brought to the show and that we've mentioned several times since, which converts, it would appear, any kind of video format under the sun into any other kind of video format under the sun. It's really amazing. I mean, I'm lucky enough to have access to Adobe, and I work through it in Adobe Premiere. And yet even Adobe once in a while will say, oh, don't like that. What's that? No, can't open that. I just open the trusty Handbrake, chuck it in, say, can you turn that into an MPEG or something I understand? And it does. It's absolutely extraordinary. I've never been able to catch it out yet. So
excellent.
Very nice little piece of software. I haven't used it very often, but it's just, it's like, you know, it's there, it's in the toolbox. And if I need to convert something that nothing else seems to understand, I know it'll do it. Excellent. Thank you for bringing that to our attention, Ted, all those years ago.
Yeah, 6 years ago. Seven years ago.
Was it? Oh, don't. The other thing.
Six and a half.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Get back in your box. The other thing was the toothpaste squeezer roller. I remember when we first talked about this, and I remember Steve Litchfield saying, you can't use it because they're made of plastic now, and tubes aren't made of metal any longer, and it doesn't work. But I'm sorry, I beg to differ, Steve, because my mother and I both still have one each, and we both still roll up our plastic toothpaste tubes with it, and it's fabulous. Are you looking it up now, Ted? Can you tell me what the thing costs? It's probably as cheap as chips as well. And it's a wonderful little thing. You just attach it to the end of your toothpaste roll tube, and as you use the toothpaste over the days and weeks, you just slowly roll it up, and it squeezes every morsel of toothpaste out of the tube. What's it worth?
Well, the link in the in those notes is now dead, but I found one that looks similar, and you're talking about £4 for three. Or if you want to buy them singly, you can, but they're a bit more expensive. Right. But yeah, £4 for three.
Still cheap as chips. Well, I recommend them, and if you want three... then buy, buy if you only want one, buy one and give two to friends. Excellent stocking filler.
Even for people that don't clean their teeth.
Yeah. No, those days have gone, Ted. 7 years ago. No.
Matthew Jones is going to put scaremongering clickbait into Room 101. While I'm all for people getting themselves checked out for common ailments and certainly getting any symptoms checked out, I'm really sick and tired of seeing clickbait stories such as, I had a runny nose and ignored it. Now doctors say I've got 3 weeks to live. Or, don't ignore these 7 sure signs that you have pancreatic cancer, with a picture of someone with a spot on their nose. Life is miserable for many as it is. Why make it worse? Do some people get a kick out of terrifying people, says Matthew.
I think, yeah, well, hang on. Let's first of all, I'll tell you that Ed Howes, it's another one I can't, is it House or Hauser or Hosse?
Who knows? Just do what you like.
Ed H says to us, it all comes down to money, Matthew. People are more likely to buy something if they're ill or miserable. So bad businesses will play on that. That's without even talking about people being most vulnerable to scamming when they're already worried, sick or depressed. Yeah, I mean, I think you have to differentiate people who are genuinely maliciously out to get you with people who are just trying to do the right thing in a tactless way. I mean, there's so much. Yeah, it's very difficult. It's almost that thing of take advice from everybody and then do what you want.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, yeah, fair enough. I'll agree with you, Matthew. That can go into Room 101. Scaremongering clickbait.
I would like to put into Room 101. When was it? It was a while ago now. It must have been a couple of years, at least, maybe more, that I sorted out the heating and got the radiators I've talked about on the show. And part of that was I bought a cover for our hot water tank, our cylinder up in the loft. I had to buy three. You know, I trotted off to B&Q.
This one again.
Yeah, it is this one again. And I'm going to keep flogging this horse until it's dead, because I've now got and have had in a bag in the house kicking about, taken up space for at least 2 or 3 years, 2 perfectly good hot water tank covers that I can't get rid of. I've even put them on. I've even been to Freecycle. I've been on Facebook. I've said to people, if anybody wants one, come round and have it. I've had to pay for 3 hot water tank cylinders, covers, and I'm probably going to have to chuck 2 of them. I mean, who's got 3 hot water tanks in their house? The world has gone bonkers.
It's a bit like the toothpaste squeezer thingy, isn't it? You know, you pay more to buy one than to buy 3.
Yes, indeed. But, you know, at least those are only little plastic things that you might be able to chuck at someone and say, here, do you want one of these? Wanting a jacket cover for a hot water tank in the loft is a very specific use case.
Yeah.
And I don't see how anyone, unless you're a working plumber, you're not going to want to buy 3 at once. The world's gone bananas. So if anybody listening wants a hot water tank cover, get in touch, because I've got 2 and they really genuinely will be going in the trash soon if I can't get rid of them. I don't really feel very. I feel like Wow! But we're nearly at the end, so I'll get there.
You've done very well. I've not heard you walk off once. So
I've
done.
Been pacing up and down. I tell you that I may not have appeared to be paying attention a couple of times. It's because I was at the other side of the room stretching my legs.
Oh, dear. Right, OK. Before we let you go then, Damian Brown wants to give a gold star to Martin Lewis's money-saving expert website. It certainly works for me, says Damien. He, being Martin Lewis, saved me literally thousands of pounds over the near two decades I've been a member, saving tax due, wearing uniforms at work, finding the best mortgage, finding bargains on eBay. The site has probably been responsible for helping and educating people financially more than anything else. And he would like to give Martin Lewis and the website moneysavingexpert.com, I think it is, a gold star. Have you ever used that?
I haven't, but I certainly know Martin Lewis, and I've read stuff that he's written before. And I think in a world where it's so difficult to find trustworthy information, Martin Lewis is a name that I think can be well respected, and I certainly
didn't
concur.
He used to be a newscaster?
I don't know.
I've got a feeling he used to be the kind of what the Americans called the anchor man on news bulletins somewhere on ITV or something.
If I'm looking for the best bridge camera or something, and I'm looking through websites and thinking, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. If Martin Lewis popped up saying, you can buy it from here and there and everywhere, I would pay a lot of attention to that because I would think, yeah, there's a name I trust. So yes, thank you, Damien. Yeah. Good, very good shout.
Well done indeed. Well, you've made it through. I'm not sure how long the show is going to be because we had a break in the middle and my record is only on an hour now. So it might be a short one. Might be a short one this time, but that's understandable. We'll be back in a fortnight, hopefully, or even 3 weeks' time, depending on what happens. Thank you to Aidan for popping in and suffering the pain to do so. Hope you will appreciate that. Whateverworks.works is our website where you'll find links to all this stuff. AidanBell.com is where Aidan is, and TedSalmon.com is where I am. Links at TedSalmon.com to all the audio podcasts, all the MeWe groups, and we hope that you'll join us in one of those MeWe groups, at least the Whatever Works one. Tell us whatever works in your life, and we'll bring highlights of that to the show. Have you got anything left to say?
I'm on my feet, but don't worry, it's not an ovation for you. It's because my back hurts. It's fun as always. Sorry I wasn't quite able to be 100% there as I might have done if my back wasn't killing me, but hopefully things will be better in a week's time. 2 weeks' time.
I hope they are, and I'm sure that all our listeners wish you well as well. So, yes, one last thing to say. As always, don't forget, whatever works,
unless it's Aidan's back. Oh!